All right, let's go out to our guest line. Very happy to welcome in for our Psychologically Speaking segment, young John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, Jackie. Graham, doing good. Great to be on. It's a great week. And just kind of just on that rebounding thing, I don't know, if you look at the NBA record books, they're similar where you look at Wilt Chamberlain not only scored 100 points in a game, he also had 55 rebounds in a game. So
that's amazing.
In the NBA, too, some of those numbers really look skewed when you look at the 50s, 60s, and 70s numbers.
Well, and he averaged, you know, 50 points and 20 rebounds in a season, which is pretty remarkable. Well, I do think, you know, and granted, I am your typical younger guy who's biased against the older. I'm sure someday I'll look at, you know, really, you know, people in their 20s and 30s and go, you guys just missed. And it's like, it's the reason I keep film of Barry Sanders, because I want to be able to always say, no, this was the better running back.
Right.
And I think there were players.
Yeah, I deal with that with my dad. It doesn't matter how good Magic or Jordan were. To him, Wilt Chamberlain was the best, will always be the best. It doesn't matter how good anyone is. No one will ever be Wilt.
He did make 35 shots in a row
in
games.
Well, and I do think Wilt could obviously would be a very good player in his prime in today's NBA. But I also think in Wilt's NBA, Eric Montross is a 25-15 guy. And that's the difference. George Mikan
they only had 8 teams, though. So,
it's true.
You know, that's the difference. You don't have it watered down the same way you did. And looking at the guys that Wilt would have played, I mean, he had Bill Russell, he had Walt Bellamy, he had Nate Thurmond, he had Bob Lanier. He had, there were probably just enough, Willis Reed. But you wouldn't want to go much deeper than that. If you had 16 teams, you would have had a lot of dog meat out there. So I want to ask you a couple of things from a psychological perspective on sports here, John. And one of them has to do with state pride. A lot of people say, well, you have to root for all the teams from the state of Michigan because Michigan has two teams in it, and Kansas has two teams, and Florida has three teams. And then talk to your dad, and he thinks that's a bunch of bunk.
Well, Jack, I'm not one of those people either. But on the other hand, though, there is a certain aspect that it really is exciting right now. Like I say, football is my favorite sport, but when it comes to sports, this is really my favorite time of year. There's so much excitement. There's so much build-up now, and we have like almost a full week for the build-up for all the games this week. And I was over in Grand Lodge High School this morning. You could see everyone. They have like their Michigan State sub. They have their Michigan subs. You can hear the chatter in the hallways. There's such an excitement right now. And even me, who I'm not real. I mean, I'm definitely a Michigan hater. But I would be as glued to my TV set during their game as I am during the Michigan State game. And I really think the two most interesting matchups of the Sweet 16 round, the Thursday Friday round, are the two games. So for my trying it, I might be biased had living up here, but I really think you look at Michigan State versus Duke, Michigan versus Kansas, there's really a lot of interest nationally on top of locally with those two very intriguing matchups from my perspective, seeing how these matchups will work out.
And you have told people when they have said, well, hey, you're from Michigan, you are very clear in differentiating the difference between Michigan and Michigan State, especially when you're in the state of Ohio, correct?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, I lived in Florida for years, too, and when I was in school down there, there was a lot of years where Miami, Florida, and Florida State were in the top five in football. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, that's neat, the top three of the top five. That's not how they see it down there, and I think it's the same thing up here. I really think the true hardcore fanatic, they want Michigan, like with me, I want Michigan State to win. I want Michigan to lose. I want to hog the state pride. I want state control for Michigan State. A lot of the lukewarm fans, like my mom, she might think it's me, but from my perspective, I want Michigan State to win, and I mean, I'm not torn at all. I want Michigan State and Kansas to move on. I want to hog all the state glory.
You know, these are guys with PhDs, Graham, so when they talk like this, then I think it excuses everyone else if they want to have some irrational thoughts. You've just given them license,
John. It's actually refreshing, yeah.
Well, you know, and I'll say this as a psychologist. If you're going to be irrational and illogical in one thing in life, it might as well be sports.
There you go.
I'm all green, and I'll be wearing my red and white outfit, or red, blue, and white outfit, Kansas outfit, at about 8, and I'll switch to my green and white around 10. So it'll be a long, fun night, but it'll be exciting regardless, and it's, you know, from the state perspective, I'm sure it's you know, it's great. I'm sure all the bar restaurant owners in the state are loving this weekend. So,
well, I want to talk to you a little bit about the passion you mentioned, because there are the three states that have more than one representative in the Sweet 16, and I think there are different gradations of passion in those states. If you are in Kansas, and Graham, have you had a chance to be in Allen Fieldhouse? Or
I have not. I have covered the JUCO National Tournament in Hutchinson, Kansas, but never Allen.
A lot of passion, especially for KU basketball, and Kansas State has a very strong, loyal following there too. In Michigan, you'll find empty seats in Breslin Center, and you used to find empty sections in Chrysler. So a little bit less. And in Florida, I think sometimes a game is a rumor.
Yeah, I know. Of the three states, I would say Florida is definitely. I mean, I've been down there with the Florida schools, and I mean, having lived down there, unless they're winning big time, their basketball really isn't that big of a deal. Of those three, I would say Kansas is probably the state where basketball might truly be the number one sport in that state.
Yeah.
And even in the state of Michigan, I get the impression Michigan State fans, I think, are more hardcore with their basketball than Michigan. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with Michigan has really been better at football over the years, where even in our down years in football, we always had the basketball program. So I just felt like if Michigan State basketball did bad, you know, I felt like there was a little bit more of a downer over Spartan fans. But it seems like I talked to, again, this is totally anecdotal, but with Michigan fans, oh, well, I don't even like basketball. I'm a football guy. I like Michigan football. It seems like you deal with that more. There's a little bit more of a difference between Michigan and Michigan State, look at the two sports traditionally over the years.
Right. I wonder whether the interest, the level of interest, is a direct correlation with the lack of other things to do. In Kansas, there isn't a lot going on. Michigan, there's a little more going on. In Florida, there's a lot going on.
Well, Michigan, you even have the sports put teams, where Kansas, it's, you know, this week, probably across Kansas, it's the only show in town where Miami, and I'm not sure if Miami plays Thursday or Friday, but I guarantee you, when as soon as Miami, that game's over, it doesn't matter if they win or lose. They're going to party at the beach. They're going to have a good time. And by midnight, everyone will forget what the outcome of those games were.
A couple things.
So it's a totally different atmosphere, different feel there. Go ahead, Dan.
I don't blame them in Miami. I don't blame them at all. Now, in Kansas, you have the basketball rules, like, in the building.
Right,
in
that's right.
I mean, it is a level of passion, the level of history there, there are very few places. Kansas, Kentucky, these are places that are just, it's different. I've always wanted to go to Fog Allen.
It's like going to the Vatican.
It's absolutely right. And in basketball terms, it is. Now, in Miami, you know, Michigan State was there this year.
Yeah.
And
were there. Yeah.
Nobody knew how, nobody knew at the time Miami was that good.
Right.
But that place was, it was a decent
including
crowd.
Miami. Jim Larranega had no idea how good they were.
But it was a really lukewarm reception. But that said, I mean, most people, you could go out and get a meal on Ocean Drive on a Wednesday night at 1 in the morning, and the place is packed. I mean, it's just such a different world. And that's like any big city, though. That's what makes some of these places different, too. I think when you're in a big city, Chicago, New York, L.A., college sports often take a back seat.
John, I want to ask you one other question quickly here, and this deals with the psychology of this week and the growing impatience we all have with coaches and programs that don't win at all. And you see it now with Ben Howland, doing the three straight Final Fours. You see it with Tubby Smith with all the 21 seasons and the fact that he had Minnesota basketball with a good reputation for a change. That's not enough, and everyone thinks they should win every game and then improve from there.
Yeah, it really shows you how it's such a what have you done for me lately world. Chad Graham, I gotta be honest, I follow sports. I had no idea Tubby was even in trouble, let alone Howland. Howland's, they played back-to-back national championship games, three Final Fours, four Pac-12 championships, but then you get a couple of dry years here, and you're gone. You look at Gene Chizik at Auburn. He's 2 years removed from winning the national championship, just signs a 10-year contract, boom, he's gone.
Didn't Howland just win the Pac-10 title? He just won the Pac-10. Ben Howland just won the Pac-10 title. What does that
really
mean?
Jack, it really shows you how, even in some places too, the expectations are just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, look at Alabama after Bear Bryant left. They had like, I mean, I don't remember the exact number, but they had like 10 coaches in 20 years. They couldn't, when finally Saban has stabilized that. But, you know, think about it, to places like UCLA, Alabama, you better keep winning. Because, I mean, like Bobby Bowden was just let go, too. He was forced out of it. Bobby Bowden can be forced out of Florida State. I mean, there's no reason that a guy like Saban can't be. And even look at Les Miles. He's won two national championships. He's always contending for it. He's always seems like he's under pressure. He's under fire. It just seems like the more and more that it's really, what did you do last weekend, and that's it. And I'm sure D'Antonio is going to be feeling some heat this year to improve on that 7-6 record. I mean, it really shows you just what have you done for me lately, and it doesn't. No one cares what happened 2 or 3 years ago, even if you won the national championship like Chizik.
Well, and I have very little faith in most athletic directors because I think it's a position that overreacts too much, but. I do think there is a train of thought. If you do have a good AD who's got a pulse of the program, you know if you're up or down a little bit. Now you don't. I mean,
yeah.
Minnesota's has not been very good under its current AD in terms of decisions made. But if you don't see the program going in the right direction, it really to me doesn't matter what just happened. You make your change, you get your right guy. Likewise, though, if you're coach goes 6-24 some season, but you like what he's done, and you like that you have to be strong enough to say no, this is the guy, and you have to be you also as an AD have to be smart enough to not just look at the Florida Gulf Coast coach and say that's the next star when he may be no better than a coach who's on a 15-15 team right now. I know you got to sell things to alumni, but some of these guys don't look deep enough, but. You know, if you can get the right AD, you got to trust that they know when things aren't going in the right direction. That's when it's better to make the change then.
That's what they're supposed to know anyway.
If you don't have the right AD in place, they're going to be much more more difficult much more prone to the emotion of the day, the emotion of the moment to make rash decisions. So, I mean, I think you're absolutely right on that.
Hey, John, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Remind everyone to check out the website. Regional Psychological Services does some incredible things. We're going to have John or John Sr. on with us each week to talk some sports psychology. We'll be back with more The Drive with Jack on The Game, 7:30 a.m.